ladies and gentlemen, with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and Robertson Hare, here is Frankie Howard.
Thank you. Yes, Carl. Now, how are you?
Are you?
Good, I wish I was, I'll tell you. No, listen, I'm in a bit of a tease tonight. No, don't laugh, love. No, I've got a little property to sell. And I don't live there myself, it's a little property. I'm living in Diggs now, you see. I don't live there myself, it's a bit damp. And at least the lucky purchasers won't have to worry about carpets. The fitted mildew. But this is the property I've got to sell. It's got full central heating, and you see, with the dam, that's another advantage, because you get it going full blast, you can have breakfast and a Turkish bath at the same time. And then there's, there's the air conditioning, at least that's what I call it, because you might say the doors and windows don't shut, but it's just a matter of opinion. And apart from that, it has some whimsical features. There's a spiral staircase, and it was straight when I bought the place, but it's all... No, this is unseasoned timber. I take liberties. And this property is ideal for a keen gardener, because there's all this grass coming up everywhere. But I've had it kept under control. You only have to mow the hall once a week now. And the place has a certain historical interest, you know, because they say, legend has it, that Dick Turpin stayed there. At least his horse did. I'm living in these digs, so I'm very comfy there. Mind you, my landlady is a funny woman. Oh, Mother Harris. I had to laugh this morning. She burst into my room, all of a lather.
Oh, Mr. H, I'm afraid you'll have to go without your breakfast this morning.
Don't tell me they'll cut the gas off again.
Oh, no, nothing like that. The woof-woof men are in the neighbourhood.
The woof-woof men?
Yes.
What is she barking about? What's the matter with you?
Oh, Mr. H, this is a chance of a lifetime.
Oh?
I've got 10 tins of it.
10 tins of it?
When he knocks at the door, I've only got to give him the right answer, and I'll win £500. Yes, and 6 months' supply of woof-woof and a diamond-studded dog collar.
Diamond-studded? You haven't even got a dog. So you could wear the collar as a tiara, I suppose.
Oh, well, anyway, I can't stop. I'm going down the front room to keep watch.
Oh, I shouldn't bother. They never knock anywhere. They just drive round their dog kennels. They won't bother.
He's here. It's the woof-woof man. Oh, here, come on, help me with the tins, Mr. Howard.
Carry on. All right. I'll do it for half the prize.
Right.
Ah, good morning, madam. I'm the woof woof man.
Would you believe it? They've even got him on a lead. Poor, poor little Barker. Now, put a bowl of water down for him.
Ah, I see you have the tins, madam. Now, here is the question, and I must have the answer in 5 seconds.
Oh, say, don't rush me. You'll get me all flustered.
Now, the question is, what does one woof-woof dog say to another woof-woof dog?
Have you heard the latest Shaggy Man story?
Very droll, sir, but the lady has to answer. Come along, what's the answer?
I had it a minute ago. It's woof-woof. Gives you that leftovers feeling.
Sorry, the time is up. I do wish someone would win this £500. I've been on all fours for 3 hours. Thanks for the water.
You're welcome. Poor little devil.
Oh, well, I suppose I'd better go and get you lunch.
Yes. I needn't tell you what it was. You're right. Well, now I've got a silky skin. And a cold nose. But anyway, I've been asked to do another TV series, you know, for the BBC. It's a good cast thing. It's based on the legal profession. Because they said I've had a lot of experience in courts. And the last time was for not having a telly license. And I defended myself, you know, brilliantly. Of course, the judge had been got at. I was fined 10 quid and my set was confiscated. I said, well, I didn't know they could do that, did you? Because I found out later the judge hadn't got a set, so. Anyway, we made a trial programme, and I played in this trial programme the handsome, brilliant, razor-sharp advocate, Sir Francis Boyd Mason, QC. Let's see what you think of it. Bill, can we have a playback? Let's play this back, if they like it.
Hello? This is Sir Francis Boyd Mason's chambers. No, not here at the moment. He's having his wig tinted.
Oh, I agree.
How vain can you get? I'll give him your message. Yeah, he said he was going down to number one court. Yeah, he didn't know Wimbledon was over weeks ago. Goodbye.
Ah, there you are, Flint. Look at this gown, just back from the cleaners, and it's gone up 4 inches. Hardly covers my briefs. Legal ones.
Oh, quite, Sir Francis.
Now, what time am I due in court?
11:30, Sir Francis. It's the drunk and disorderly.
Oh, yes, and I've worked out a very clever defence. I'll make rings round them.
What are our chances?
Oh, don't worry, I'll get off. Don't worry.
Now, apart from that, there's nothing at all in the diary, is there?
No, nothing at all. Uh-huh. Oh, I haven't been in the headlines for weeks. Look, I need something to bolster my career. Save some poor wretch from the gallows.
There is no more capital punishment, sir.
Isn't there? Have you had a note round? Oh. Well, I must do something. You feel such a fool addressing a jury when you haven't got a client.
Yeah, I've had a phone call, sir. Yes. Farmer wants you to take his case. He's being sued for bad husbandry.
Neglecting a farmer, eh? That's a heinous crime, not to say criminal. In this day and age when every acre is vital to the nation's larder, that could get him 3 years.
He's asked us to defend him, sir.
Ah, that's different. Poor devil. Being hounded. Hounded. Just because he let things pile up in the cow shed. I'll get him off.
It's a legal aid case, sir. The fee is 2 guineas.
2 guineas? Oh, he can get himself out of the sheep dip.
Well, that's it then, sir. We may as well call it a day.
Yes.
I'll go and finish polishing Judge Bonniewell's car. We've got to keep in.
This is ridiculous. Boyd Mason, QC, briefless. Mind passion, please. Never again to bring tears to the eyes of the jury. Did you like that bit? It's good. I've got Crippen a free pardon.
Well, I must admit, sir, you have swayed them in your time.
And I will again. I will. Think of my reputation in Lincoln's Inn Fields. I've had a few romps in there. Between cases.
Sir Francis Boyd Mason. Handsome, brilliant, razor sharp.
That will show you serious it is.
I've got to talk to you. I'm in trouble.
Are you? You better close the door and tell me all about it.
Yeah, I can't tell you. It's locked inside me, this terrible secret. If only I could, but something holds me back. If only I could reveal to you the cruelty, the torment, the heartbreak I've suffered at the hands of this indescribable beast who has deliberately broken my spirit and thrown me aside like a soiled glove. If only I could talk about it.
You must force yourself to it.
Now, you don't understand. I'm in urgent need of a brilliant legal brain. Someone whose outstanding ability can cut like a knife through the tangled web of the law and...
Well, don't rest your case now. You're describing me to a T. Come on.
It's my husband. I can't live with him any longer. Life has become one long nightmare. Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
All right, dear, all right. You've got the part, all right. Don't get trading stamps for flogging yourself silly, you know.
I'm sorry.
Yes, that's better. Now, first things first, I didn't get your name.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm distraught.
And the address?
Yes. Now, I'm Lady Pamela Curzon.
Oh, are you?
Yes. And I've got to get rid of my husband. I want a divorce.
Well, I take it you've got grounds, Lady Pamela.
What does that matter? You don't need a garden to get a divorce, do you? Fools.
I'm quite sure I can get a decree for cruelty.
Cruelty? Oh. Good. We've got to the kinky bit.
Well, for a start, at bedtime...
Here we go. This is where they clear the court.
My husband disappears into the bathroom for anything up to 2 hours.
The heartless brute!
It's those wretched model boats.
Model boats?
Yes. They're an absolute obsession with him. He's got the entire home fleet in miniature.
Denying you the use of the bathroom to play with his model boats for 2 hours? We can get in for desertion as well. Come on.
I knew you were the man, Sir Francis, to help me. I mean, is it fair that I should be the unwilling partner to this inhuman monster? This creature who's wrecking my life, destroying everything that was decent and worthwhile.
Apart from that, do you get on all right?
Sir Francis, I'm desperate.
That's worth noting.
You must believe me. You've got to help me.
But how do I know you're telling the truth? This could be a figment of your imagination. Or in other words, you're trying to make me look a right Sir Francis, aren't you?
I'll give you anything.
I'll take the case, then.
Definitely.
Now, I suggest you go home, sink into a nice hot bath before the fleet comes in. Good morning. I'll see you in court.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's going to make a difference, sir. A rich client. We can hold our heads up, use the canteen again, get the desks back.
Yes, and for the first time, I'll be able to go on the Barrister's outing. Right. Now, Flint, we'll start working on this after lunch.
I'm not having lunch, sir. I'm trying to lose weight.
I see. You want to be a lighter, Flint. Please yourselves, all right. I don't like this. Only space, you know.
Majesty's Judge, Lord Strangeways, the judge presiding.
Take the cases in order. I see we have Boyd Mason with us in court on this unhappy morning. May we take it ipso facto that he is emerging once again after his only two temporary retirement?
Silly old fool. He looks like a cocker spaniel.
What was that, Boyd Mason?
I'm checking on the legal manual. With respect, my lad.
I suggest you proceed.
At once, my lad. I shall not speak. I shall not speak about the bush, my lad. Normally one cannot see the wood for the trees, my lad. But in this instance, the path is clear cut, and not a thorn in sight.
Is this a case or a lecture on gardening?
Silly old twit.
What was that?
You're such a wit, my lad.
Very well, proceed.
Thank you, my lad. Now, members of the jury.
There is no jury. This is a divorce court.
No jury? My lad. Do you mean you're on your tongue, my lad?
Yes. And you've been nipped in the bud.
Oh, on the slippery slopes, I've slubbed, my lad.
Yes, you should.
Forty love.
You should. But get on with it.
Yes. Now, my lad, I will prove beyond a shadow of doubt that my client, this attractive young piece, in her prime, as I see you've noticed, by the way your wig's curling. Murky old milad.
Go on.
She must be free from her marriage contract. She has suffered humiliation upon humiliation, wilting from wedlock. And I shall call my first witness, and she will relate to you all the harrowing. And finally, my lad, I submit.
We all submit. You've been talking for 6 hours.
I got wound up a bit. All this legal stuff, I couldn't find a full stop.
Very well. Divorce granted.
Oh.
If I'm not home soon, there'll be another one.
I'll take the case. After that, Lady Pamela and I saw a lot of each other. In fact, 3 months later, we were married. Very happily, too, until one night.
Francis, come out. You've been in that bathroom for
my manoeuvres. I've sunk three cruisers and destroyer. Oh, this is... I don't know. I have a submarine somewhere. Oh! It's all right. I found it. Oh, nautical Francis. I had a surprise
the other week when I popped down to the War Office. I guess what it was, they wanted my greatcoat back. I thought they'd get round to it eventually. Still, it's done me well over the years. But actually, it wasn't that at all. Because the fellow I thought was very pleasant, you know the type. All pips and pontification. Now, there's a word to mull over, isn't it? Something that ignorant, you know. I'm not ignorant. My IQ is just deep down. Where the dirt is. As they say in the ads. Anyway, I went down to the War Office. Here we are. This must be the War Office. I can see all those generals in the basement still working on their memoirs. Oh, excuse me.
Howard, my dear chap, do come in. Jolly nice to see you.
Oh, thank you.
We haven't put you out.
No, doctor.
Well, the thing is, Howard, old chap, we'd like you to do another tour for us.
Yes.
I know the last trip was pretty hellish for you. What with the weather and the location, I understand things got a bit ugly.
Oh, it certainly did. I mean, Saturday night in Aldershot is no picnic, you know.
Well, this time we'd like to go a little farther afield. Germany, as a matter of fact.
Ah, yes, the land of fattening Frankfurters and frolicky Fräuleins. Well, we got everything fixed up, and the next morning I was on the plane. I must say, it wasn't very comfortable. No seats. We were all strap hanging.
Right, lads. This is it. Get ready. Mr. Howard, are you all set?
Yes. What, are we coming into land?
Oh, no landing this trip, sir. This is a training exercise for the paratroops. Well, here's your chute, and we'd like it back.
Chute? I'm not jumping out. I wish to be conveyed to the ground in one piece. Well, I mean, I bruise like a peach.
Oh, he'll be all right, sir. Not to worry. Just roll over three times when you hit the ground.
Roll over? You must be mad. The two suitcases and the piano accordion. Well, I mean, in these tight, shark-skinned hipsters, there's no margin for error, you know.
Oh, not to worry, sir. I'll be jumping with you. Red light on. Off you go, lads.
They don't hang about, do they?
Off you go, sir.
Look, I can't. I tell you, I can't. Whoop. I have. So he didn't have to push me so hard, did he? And the chute's not going to open. I'm not even the right way up. Oh, I should have a shocking headache. Ooh! What a way to arrive. Spread eagle over a piano accordion. My arpeggio will never be the same again.
Well, sir, that wasn't it too bad. You did very well.
Well, there wasn't much option, was there? I mean, I thought it was before my suitcase came under halfway down. That was nice. I mean, my knickers drifting over 9 miles.
Well, now, if you'll just follow me, sir, we're only a couple of miles from the camp, just a trot.
Yeah, for a horse, not for me.
Oh, good to see you. I'm Colonel Von Spice.
Oh, yes.
Why don't you loosen something, for goodness sake? It must be an agony.
No. Let me get you a drink. How would you like it? Stiff?
Rigid. I want something to lean on.
Ah, here's the entertainment officer. Make yourselves acquainted. I'll get you that drink.
Ah, thank you.
Hello. I've been detailed to supply anything you want.
Pardon?
I'm a lieutenant in the ranks, but you can call me Stella.
I was a layabout in the ranks. You can call me anytime.
I'm going to take you under my wing.
For a little flutter.
Oh, flirty Francis.
You know, we've got everything here in the way of recreation.
Well, when I recreate, nothing gets in my way.
There's tennis, swimming, golf,
Would you like a little outdoor sport?
You leave me a phone number, yes.
Now you're teasing, Stella. You know I meant a little fun and games.
Precisely.
Till tomorrow, then. I'm just off for a little squash.
It must be in that uniform.
Oh, she's a sport.
She's a sport.
Now, she's number 18, concerts in 12 days.
Oh,
and the audience is well hostile. I've had all these gags and whimsies about Russia. They all fell on stony ground. And I twigged. They dropped me behind the Iron Curtain. Now, I still think it was deliberate. Mind you, I had no trouble getting back because I was exchanged for something very valuable. 300 weight of corned beef. And an LP of the Beatles. Oh, it was a hard day's night for Francis. I was strolling around the West End the other afternoon, enjoying the exhaust fumes, and I had a very unusual experience, even for the West End.
Show's just starting, sir.
Pardon?
Artistic representation, sir. You can see one September morn, sunset in Hawaii, and beauties of the world.
Really? I had no idea there was an art gallery up this alley. Well, I suppose I could browse for an hour or two, take in some culture.
Yeah, as long as you are not the law.
Law? Well, I should hardly call a brocade waistcoat and a cream blazer plain clothes, would you? I'm known in dressy circles as Francis the Fop.
Okay, sir, in you go.
It's very dark for an art gallery. It's full of middle-aged art lovers. All men. Just sitting round. I can't even see any pictures.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's artistic presentation. I think we have something to titillate you all. Now, making a welcome return is our very own Denise.
Oh, goody, goody. Denise is back. I've missed her.
There she is, in her own interpretation of One September Morn. I thank you.
One September Morn? She must have left home in a hurry. Not even a handbag to cover her confusion.
Will you kindly sit down, sir? You're obstructing my view of Denise's interpretation.
What an anxious little art lover.
Kindly stop bobbing about, all thing upon thing.
Dirty old devil. I've a good mind to breathe on your opera glasses.
Now, gentlemen, while Denise goes off to change...
Change what, the colour of her toenails?
We shall present Shirley, Ursula and Mimi in Sunset Over Hawaii.
Oh! Must have been a very hot day, too.
For the last time, sir, will you stop jumping up and down? Have you no appreciation of art?
Now, gentlemen, for our final presentation, Beauties of the World. And, gentlemen, I would ask you once again to stay behind the white ropes. Last week, Miss Spain lost her mantilla.
I'm surprised to hear she was wearing one.
Here we are, then, Beauties of the World.
Oh, this is too much. I'm not staying for this any longer. I want words with the manager.
Do you have to make this disturbance, sir? You are spoiling the mood for others.
I can't help that. I want to make a serious complaint. I pay half a guinea to be cooped up in here for 6 hours. And what do I find? These young females flaunting their willy nivies? I mean, this love is gibbous. I want something done about it.
Oh, so you want your money back?
No, I don't. I want a membership card and a seat at the front. With the true art lovers. And why not my art? Thank you. It's been a marvellous thought. I tell you, that's the West End for you. Well, I don't see much of it these days, you know, because I think... Well, I think you don't, because I'm always travelling in this business. You're always on the move. With an act like mine, it pays to dodge about a bit. And, of course, you see, some of these pro-digs, we have to put up with these pro-digs, you know, these for the theatricals. And these landladies have to all the tricks, you know. The last one I stayed in was only 21 bulb in my bedroom. It was Wednesday before I found out I was sharing. Still, she had two kinds of boarders, the quick and the starving. Mind, that was some time ago. All that, so it digs, before I became a household name, like... Well, I mustn't advertise disinfectant. But it's... It's all hotels now, of course, and I must tell you, the last one I honoured was brand new. There was still putting the furniture in. Well, to give you an idea, it had 94 bedrooms and only 4 beds. Can't you do get to know people that way, but... listen, you could die. Literally, I just, one night, I had a skulk round the corridors. Because, oh no, why skulk? Oh, what? Oh, I like a bit of skulking. And I met this gorgeous, she was this girl standing by the door of her room in her negligee. And I nodded, and she nodded, all very friendly, you see. An hour later, I happened to pop out again, and she was standing in her doorway, you see. So I nodded, and she nodded. And that's how it was all night. Nodding doing. I suppose you've all had your own experiences at hotels. And one or two you don't mind talking about. No, I've always found the best hotels are afloat. Have you been on these luxury liners? Have you been on one of those? Oh, these cruises, luxury cruises, they're very nice, you know. So I remember the first one. I felt such a fool because I was a bit green. It wasn't the weather either. No, you see, the first night out, they said, no one dresses for dinner. This! And like a fool... I thought, how informal can you get? I don't mind telling you it took me an hour to pluck up courage and go down. And even then I'd be on the menu. What a nasty draft you can get from those poor souls. The thing is, no, but foreign travel does broaden the mind, doesn't it? No, you pick up quite a few of the local customs. Take Singapore, for instance. Singapore. Now, you always know when a rickshaw is engaged because the coolie sticks the glove over one ear. That's typical. And I just stroll down the harbour in Singapore and I heard this fella shouting, you know, just like I do at home, trip round the bay, $5. And next to him, there was another chap shouting, trip round the bay, 50 cents. I said to the secretary, I don't understand how you can do it so cheap. I mean, that fella's charging $5 and you're only charging 50 cents. Ah, he says, it's all a matter of overheads, you see. He's got a boat. But a funny lot, all the plane crowd. But no, listen, it's coming home to the customs that you have to be careful. They make you feel so guilty, you mean, when you're not. Last time I just walked away, trying not to limp. Well, I mean, those expanding wasp straps do cut into your thighs, don't they? They cut into your thighs. But now I won't bother to go abroad for a bit now because, you can't when they've confiscated your passport, can they? Now, look at the time. Oh, I've got the washing up to do. I shall. Well, like, we'd better go now. Well, we'll see you next week, eh? Thank you very much. Bye bye now. Thank you.
And for the last 30 minutes, you've been with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, Robertson here, and Frankie Howard. The script was by Charles Hart and Peter Bishop. The show produced by Bill Wesley.